All right, everybody shut up. I said shut up. Now, are you ready to play the game?
No.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
Yeah, yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
Hello and welcome to the Pelican Plunge. It has been quite a while, so we've got a lot of plunging to do, I think, to dissect the amount of news that's happened since we last recorded. We have thought about doing a podcast, but we thought, let's just get whole load of news together first, and then we'll do a complete big dissect. Joining me as ever is Pelican season ticket holder Jason. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I am doing fine. It's a nice the weather outside, it's been so hot the last few weeks, but today it's kind of crisp for if you consider an August 5th morning crisp, but it actually feels pretty decent outside. It's not bad. So yeah, big show. I mean, so much news happening. It did make sense to just kind of wait and do everything in one giant show, to kind of wait as the dominoes kind of fall. And even though free agency is not quite over yet, there's still some moves I would think we're going to be making. Hopefully re-signing Josh Hart. But yeah, majority of the moves I think have been made. The draft's been had. We got a new coach finally. So
yeah, so let's get into it then. So when we last spoke, we kind of talked about Van Gundy, didn't we? And said that he was actually probably quite lucky to keep hold of his job. Then out of nowhere, Griff got rid straight away. And that's kind of really been... I kind of really set the tone for the summer, really, what we've seen from Griff. What was your initial reaction on the Van Gundy sacking?
I kind of had two reactions. First, I was kind of... I was glad that we actually realized that it was a mistake to sign him, and we got rid of him, and we didn't try to prolong him being around because he just wasn't a fit. So I was happy. I mean, you're never happy for somebody to get fired, but you just kind of knew he wasn't the right fit. So it's like, I'm glad they actually realized, hey, we got to move on. But then it goes back to, well, why the hell was he hired in the first place? It really makes you wonder what the hell Griffin saw in him.
Well, do you think they saw him as a stopgap for a year?
I don't know about for a single year, but I figured. When
we recorded when Van Gundy got hired, we always said we don't think he's the guy to take us to the promised land, but he could potentially take us a little bit further up.
We were hoping that he would be able to instill some defensive principles in these guys to kind of get them in that mindset, and then
looking
bring in the guy
now
that can get us over the top. Yeah, that clearly didn't work out.
No, exactly.
So,
and it's good because, like I say, it looks like Griff, yeah, he did make a poor pick, but unlike Del Demps or something like that, he'll actually, do you know what? I'm not going to try and fit this circle into a square hole. I'm just going to get rid of it straight away.
Yeah, Del Demps would have doubled down and traded for a shitty player to try to fit Van Gundy's system, and it would have been prolonging the anomaly. So I do give props for him for admitting his mistake and moving on and firing him. But man, now looking back, it's like, well, we just wasted a year by bringing him in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the only thing you can say it was good to see Zion pretty much healthy for a season and doing what he was doing. Because that's a development year for him, really. And you saw the development of players like Nikhil Jackson. That's really what I can take away from last year, is that we saw those guys take a step, and I'd like to see him take a step going forward again. But Willie Green was then announced. It took a while, to be fair. It was quite a long time between the firing and the hiring of Willie Green. And I think that was due to, obviously, his participation in the NBA Finals with Phoenix. And this is the kind of hire we were talking about last year, weren't we? This is a guy we wanted, a younger guy who's not, an ex-player who knows the modern game, who knows how to treat and respect players, someone who the younger guys can, because we've got quite a young roster, they can sort of see themselves with. And I think that kind of definitely ticked the box of Willie Green.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. This is the kind of guy I've been screaming for all along. No old retread. I want a young guy with no head coaching experience who can get along with these young players, because, I mean, the roster is still so, so young. And that goes back to speak to, I mean, Van Gundy just definitely was not going to mix with these guys. It just wasn't going to happen. So I'm excited for him. I like the fact that he coached under both Steve Kerr and Monty Williams. He got a lot of experience in the playoffs. Chris Paul still thinks very, very highly of him.
Steph Curry as well.
Right. He did have a season here in New Orleans with the Hornets back in the day. So he knows the city a little bit.
This is the whole thing. I thought that just because he played one season doesn't mean he's a homer and stuff like that. From his press conference where he said, New Orleans holds a special place because it's where him and his wife got married when they were here or got together, or they had their first child was here or something. So it actually is a memorable place for him for good reasons. And I think that helps the fit even more.
Mm-hmm. And, the fact that he's got respect from these all-time great players really should help the guys on the team. They're going to listen to him. I mean, he's going to be able to reach these guys, and he'll be strict when he needs to, but he's not going to be like a drill sergeant like Van Gundy was. So I was really pleased with the hire.
Definitely. It's something I can really, he speaks so well with the interview you saw him with AD, that interview on the Pell social media platform. It just gets me really excited for, I think, cause this is not a retread. This is the unknown. So the potential possibility is the sky's the limit for this guy, especially with the young players we've got and the cap room we potentially could have.
Yeah, I'm excited for him. I'm a lot more excited for him than when we hired Van Gundy last year. And I know he's going to have some ups and downs because it's his first head coaching job. But I'm here for it. I mean, I think this is the kind of guy that can get us to where they need to go.
Mm. Your dog seems to like it as well.
Yeah. We got some work on the house, work on the back room. So anytime.
Hey, calm down.
wasn't a Van Gundy fan.
He definitely was not a Van Gundy fan.
so that's the head coaching job done. And then Griff had another job to do, dissecting last year's horror year. And that was definitely the Bledsoe Adams deal was just mental in the first place. And the fact that when we traded for Adams and gave him that contract without even seeing him play in the Pelicans jersey was just mind boggling.
Yeah, I knew they were. Hold on one second.
So for those wondering, Jason's gone to sort his dog out. Not a Van Gundy fan, and he's back.
Okay. Yeah. I figured for sure they would get rid of Bledsoe. I wasn't sure if they were going to get rid of Adams or not. Adams seems like a good dude. I think he was a little hurt last year. But I don't wish any ill on him. He definitely didn't get the hate that Bledsoe deservingly received from us. But so, in the trade, we flipped first round picks. We got Valanciunas back, who to me was the best player in the trade. So that's an upgrade at center.
How's Griff done pulled this trade off?
I don't know what Memphis is thinking, really, unless they're just doing, they're just.
Well, Jonas has just only got a year left in his contract. So right. Maybe they weren't planning to sign him to a longer term deal. Just the fact that we could get a player like that back in return for getting rid of the Bledsoe and Adams contracts, plus keeping hold of a first round draft pick, and that 2022 protected first round pick for the Lakers, that's going to be in the late 20s, like we said. I just think this is an unbelievable trade, and everyone's saying what have Memphis done here? Like, the Pelicans have absolutely robbed them.
Yeah, and I always knew we'd have to toss in a first round pick to get rid of Bledsoe. But look, this is part of the reason why you've accumulated all these first round picks, to use them to make moves when you have to. Now, a lot of people just assume we were going to use them to acquire, you know, like a star player or something. And maybe eventually they still do. But, you know, you need those assets to get off of a, just getting rid of Bledsoe and improves the team. And then when you can get a good player back in return and still got the first round pick, where, look, when we were picking at 10, there was no consensus, you know, from 10 to 18 or 19. So we could still get a guy that we wanted at 17. So, God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very, very good trade. And I didn't think we would be able to get that done really with Memphis. I thought, you know, we'd definitely have to lose a first round pick, maybe to get rid of both of them, just because of the size of the Adams contract. But to do what we've done there, once again, Griff fucked up in the first place. That I will say that we're not just praising Griff for him for his magic, but his original trade got us into this shithole, let's be honest. And we managed to get out of it, and let's go again. This is a big summer for him.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, look, it was a nice move, but it was a move to correct the mistake he made last year.
So, and you can't keep doing that.
No. I mean, the good thing is, like, the one thing I'll say, he's not doubling down on his mistakes. He's moving. He realizes, he acknowledges the mistake and moved on. So,
at center this going into next year, we're going to have Jonas Jackson and, it's about the Jackson Hayes story
and maybe,
as well at the moment.
And maybe Willie Hernan Gomez. Willie, maybe we'll bring him back, you know, because he was solid.
He was averaging a double-double towards the end of the last year. He was solid.
Yeah, he'll be a nice low-cost option. And speaking of Hayes, man, when that news broke, I was like, oh, fuck. Like,
what's that? The video just makes it look worse for the police than anything for Jackson. Right.
Well, I don't know necessarily for Jack. I mean, I think I was worried like Jackson did something incredibly stupid, and maybe he did, because the video didn't see how they got to that point. It just, when the video started, you know, the video that I'm sure most people have seen by now, he was already on the ground. The police were already on top of him, but man, they used so much force. It tased him when he was already
in restraints on the ground. Was just
right.
Just
so
as an outsider looking in, as a British citizen looking in at that sort of style of policing, it's something we don't get over here. It's just, it really does baffle me.
And it happens.
Very heavy-handed.
And it happens all the time. And look, I know being a police officer is a tough job. I wouldn't want it, but.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you've got different gun laws over there where I think the police can be softer over here because they know that people aren't carrying firearms where they're over there. So I don't think you can compare the two, but it's just, as an outsider looking in, it's extremely strange.
Yeah. But the good thing, cause when the reports came out, it's like, he got arrested for assaulting an officer. I'm like, oh, like that seemed really bad news, but kind of, now, as more details come out, I don't think it's going to, you know, I don't think it looks as bad for Hayes as it did initially, which.
Do you think he'll get a suspension?
I don't know. I'm not sure how.
It's not the NFL. That's right. If it was the NFL,
Right. I mean, yeah, I don't know how the NBA is. I mean, if it was a clear, like, domestic battery or something that he was arrested for, then that's fine. But I don't think that was the case. Apparently there was a lot of screaming and yelling between him and his girlfriend, but I don't know that he actually hit her or anything like that. I know she's not cooperating with police. So I don't know. I mean, obviously the team's going to sit him down and be like, hey man, you know, try to find out what happened. And
let's just sit him, Lattimore, Deontay Harris and Big Dave all in the house together. Let's just have a rehab house. Cause it just seems to be a trend of the summer with New Orleans with sports stars at the moment, just getting in trouble with the law. What's really not a great look for us. But Jackson Hayes is definitely a huge, huge talent, and it's one that I would really like to see him. Like I said, Jonas only got a year left on his contract. This could be another year of development for Jackson before he takes over. Like, I really want to see Jackson Hayes explode in this team, because I think he could be a top center in this league.
Well, yeah, and you did see progression from him at the end of last year. Like, it looked like he was finally making a little bit of a leap forward after struggling in the first half of the season. So, I mean, look, you invested first round picks in these guys, and
he's like 8th overall, wasn't he? He was like 7th or 8th overall.
So to be a successful team, you need these guys to hit. So he was showing improvement, and I'd like to think that's going to continue a little bit. So it'll give us options, right? If we don't want to keep Jonas, and if Hayes steps up again, we can let Jonas walk and have Hayes be the guy.
Yeah. No more New Orleans sports stars getting in trouble with police, please. Can we just end that now? This summer's been too much.
It was kind of like, well, who was going to one up each other? The Pelicans and then the Saints. It's like, come on. Like, what the hell's going on in that building over there?
They're having a competition between themselves. They've got a blackboard at the top.
Oh, so frustrating.
Yeah, this is where Willie Green uses where his man management skills will come in, hopefully, and you'll see him put an arm around Jackson and hopefully it doesn't come too much of a distraction, whatever fallout happens with it. Mm-hmm. But we've got Bledsoe and Adams off the books. Fantastic. And a great player in Jonas coming back. Who actually averaging a double-double really every game. More points per game and more rebounds per game than Adams. So it looks like we've upgraded that position where we probably didn't think we would have upgraded that position in the offseason. So that's always good.
Yeah, I kind of figured we'd roll back with Hayes and Adams, at least for one more year, and then maybe we'd offload Adams next offseason. So it does look like Jonas can maybe spread the four a little more than Adams. I mean, he didn't take a ton of threes, but he's definitely more offensively skilled, that's for sure.
So yeah, absolutely.
That can always come in handy.
Yeah. And on from there, really, it was the draft. Going into this draft, obviously, we really wanted someone that could space the floor for Zion and Ingram to do their work. And, the Pelicans get Trade Murphy and Herbert Jones. Two guys that seem to be able to spread the floor. But, I don't watch college basketball, but reading some articles and listening to other podcasts, it seems like this is two solid pickups from the Pelicans.
And you could definitely tell they were looking for a certain position. I was hoping Corey Kispert would have fallen to us because I think he's the best pure shooter in the draft, but he got picked right before us. But looking at Murphy, he's like a 40% three-point shooter, and he can defend. So the one thing is he can defend better than Kispert, and he's still a very good shooter.
He's a big guy as well.
Yeah, he's got good size, a wing 3-and-D defender, which is definitely what we needed. So looking at him, I really like the pick. That kid really improved. He started at Rice, then went to Virginia, so he really improved. And then is it Herbert? Than Jones? Yeah.
Herbert Jones.
Yeah, and so then Jones, he was the SEC player of the year, I think.
Yeah. Defensive player of the year.
Yeah. So, his shot isn't quite there, but he can really defend, and that's another thing.
We lost with Drew Holiday.
Right. The team needed shooting and defense, and these two players provide that. So they definitely had an idea of what they wanted.
Big guys in the wings.
Right. So I'm happy. I would have liked to have kept one of the because we had a bunch of second round picks and we traded away a lot of them. And the weird thing with the NBA draft is with the way trades work. Even though we still had to pick 10th for Memphis, so the guy gets picked, puts on a Pelicans hat, and we know it's not us. Yeah. I do hate that about the draft.
Do you reckon they ever change that? They've got to change that. Surely.
It just makes it so confusing. It just ruins the draft night experience.
Yeah.
Because when I saw, I stayed up that late and I saw, the Pelicans at 40 picked such and such guard from Butler. I was like, holy shit. And not realizing, that was part of another trade somewhere. I'm usually good about kind of knowing which picks are whose, but at that point it was late in the night and I had a few
to drink and
right. So I went to bed happy and I woke up and was like, he's not us. He's not ours, damn. Cause that would have been a steal. That was a steal of a pick, I thought.
Yeah. And we're heading sort of free agency now. We've got a lot of cap room and we had the option, I think, of keeping Lonzo Ball, but we did a sign and trade with the Chicago Bulls. What was your feelings on losing Lonzo?
See, I was on the fence. I was kind of
So is
you know, yeah. I mean, it's kind of been that way for a while. Like I do, he's still very young. I do like his potential. There's certain games he's great. Certain games he's terrible. And it was kind of like, you know,
there's a big butt here and his name's Nikhil.
Yeah. Look, I definitely expect a lot of things from Nikhil. I think a lot of people just look at the trade in terms of what we got. And when we really didn't get a lot for Ball and we gave up a pick. Did we get? Yeah, we gave up a pick. Or no? Did we? I should know this.
Hang on, let's see if I can find it.
Yeah.
No, because obviously we then got Devonta Graham.
Okay. Yeah. We gave up a pick on the Graham deal, but not this one. But you know, getting Satoransky and Temple in a second round pick, it's really not much. But it was more of at least we're getting something. For Ball and again with the Ball, it's, you know, do you really want to pay him $23-24 million a year? I mean, I like Ball as a player. I don't know that his fit with us and what we want to do with Zion and Ingram, I don't think that really suited Ball's game. I mean, I know he wants to be a spot up shooter, but to me, I'd rather him attack the basket and be an actual point guard.
Ball has a bit of a media circus around him with his dad and his brothers in the league, and I don't mind not having that. Nothing against him or anything, but I just don't mind not having the whole media around him. And you always knew Ball would go to a big market because of the media circus around him.
Yeah, so, and of course, you know, the national media is slurping it up and saying, hey, I can't believe the Pelicans let him go. Well, I mean...
Well, have you seen Nikhil when he came in, his stats?
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, and this is you know how you deal with the salary cap, and now hopefully we can go into free agency and make some splash. Like Graham coming in is definitely a big piece to come in.
Yeah, and I know we gave up a first round pick to get him, and I know it's just watching highlights of the guy, but man, he seems like he's a guy that in crunch time he's not scared of the moment. He'll take a shot. He's a good 3-point shooter, and you got him at half the price, Alonzo. And that's the thing. You know, and when you compare the stats of the two, they're really not that much different.
I think he'll contribute more than Lonzo. And we've still got more deals potentially due in free agency. One you really don't want to happen. Do you want to talk about it, or do you want to try and avoid it in case David Griffin's listening to this podcast?
Oh, God, which one don't I want to have?
Lowry.
Oh, I definitely did not. As the free agency was nearing, all the word was leaking out that we were going to go after Lowry, and that's the one I just did not want him. A 35-year-old guard, and you're going to have to pay him $30 million a year? Like, no thank you. No thank you. He may work for you this year, but then he's just – you're going to get caught with this huge contract on the books when you've got all these young guys that are going to come up for extensions that you need to keep around. So, I'm glad we didn't get Lowry, but apparently we threw money at him. Apparently we threw money at Chris Paul. And neither of
them. Well, Chris Paul was the year before, wasn't it?
Well, no. This offseason, I know he signed with Phoenix, but apparently we offered him a 3-year, $100 million deal.
That's for last year.
No. This year.
Was it this year, was it? I thought it was for last year.
I'm sure we offered him last year too, but apparently we offered him this year.
Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind seeing Chris Paul one day return back here. It would be quite cool. Are you past that?
Oh, no. If we'd assigned Chris, I'd have been like, look, wherever Chris is gone, his team has won. So if we would assign Tim, God damn it. This is annoying. If we'd assigned him, I knew we were going to be winners this year.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we didn't get Duncan Robinson either. It looks like he stayed with the Heat. It's just going to be really interesting to see what the Pelicans line up next year. I don't know, man. It's going to be an interesting season. Starts in October, obviously. So we've still got summer league to look forward to, and I wonder what you know. So you'll see the two rookies are playing summer league as well. But I really did want Duncan Robinson.
God, he got like what 4 years?
Five years, $90 million.
$590 million. I mean, that's a lot of money, man. You know, and that's the thing. Like, looking at Graham, I think he can give you close enough. He's going to give you the shooting you need, and he's cheaper than all these other guys.
you've got Graham who can do, he can shoot. Nikhil can shoot. Even the old rookies.
Murphy. Yeah.
Shoot. Murphy can shoot.
Murphy can shoot and now.
Ingram can still shoot. Like, you've got guys that can shoot. Mm-hmm. I think we're fine there now. I don't know where we go now with the cap room that we've got still. I don't know where we go.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to re-sign Josh Hart now.
Yeah, I think I would. Now that Duncan Robinson's off the table, I'd probably right.
Because you can, Josh. You know, because you can get him at, you know, maybe $8-10 million. So if you do that, you basically got Graham and Hart for the price of Ball. So
you do that all day.
You know, yeah. So I think when you look at it that way, I think that's the logical move.
And because Hart is coming off an injury, but
that's kind of a freak hand injury. But you like a guy. I mean, like, he's a dog. He's a good defender. He's a rebounder. He's a glue guy. We kind of need a guy like that on the team now. So, and in terms of free agents left, I mean, there's not really that many.
Let's have a look.
You know, biggest time players out there. I'd rather re-sign Hart than try to go after anybody else. I'll be really disappointed if Hart doesn't come back. I really will. Because now I think that's the kind of guy you need, especially because we'll see. I don't know what the starting lineup's going to be. Does Kyra stay on coming off the bench? Do we start?
Yeah.
We start Graham and Alexander Walker.
Yeah. Yeah. You start. Alexander Walker is a starter for me now.
I think 100%. So you could do that, and then you bring in Kyra and Hart as your two guards off the bench. I mean, I kind of like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Kyra did good when he came in for a rookie, so I was, you know, I was happy. Yeah, so Graham did a four-year, $47 million contract.
So, yeah, I mean, that for a guy that can shoot like that and man, you watch the highlights and it's like, man, this, I know it's highlights. They're meant to make a player look good, but I mean, I'm kind of excited.
So yeah, I'm just trying to think, there's not many big ones out there now. I'm just kind of looking, a lot of them already had agreed deals. So you got Reggie Jackson still unrestricted. Dennis Schroeder still unrestricted.
Yeah. I'd rather Hart than, cause Hart's going to be a lot cheaper than both those guys.
Yeah. I would probably still go Hart, and then this is it. Where do you spend the rest of the money, or do you not spend the money?
Just you don't. You spend it on Hart. You bring back Hernan Gomez, and I think that's it.
You finally have depth in this team,
right? Yeah.
And if you don't want to trade for a piece halfway through the season, you've got the cap room to do it.
You got the cap room. You still got all a bunch of first round picks coming. If that's what you want to do.
If you think you are there and you need a player to go over the top to take you there. If you're hanging around that playing area where I think we will be fighting around this year. You know, the West is loaded as it's the West. If we're hanging in and around that playing area, and we need someone to take us over there and take us up to, like, I don't know, the fourth or the fifth. But
I guess, I mean, I don't know, like, one of the reasons I'm kind of excited and looking forward to the season, and not a lot of people are factoring in, they just kind of see, oh, well, we didn't make a big splash in free agency, like a lot of people thought we kind of need, because we do kind of need to win, but people aren't factoring in this roster.
But multiple first-round players. Multiple
right. You've got all these young first round picks that should continue to constantly get better. So they're not really factoring in the improvement from a lot of these second and third year guys. And that's usually when guys start to really make the leaps into becoming the NBA players they're going to be is in year, you know, around year three. And that's where we are right now.
We've already got two superstars in this team. Mm-hmm. No, not many teams have two superstars.
And look at the improvement from Zion year one and two. What the hell you think he's going to do from year two to three?
Yeah.
Like he's going to get even better. And when you look at him, when we had 14 games last year where we had double digit leads and we just blew for either Van Gundy or shitty defense and shit like that. So if all we have to do, like we were this close last year to being like a 6 or 7 seed. All you have to do is clean that up, and you combine that with the improvement of these young guys. there's no reason they can't be a 4 or 5 seed. I mean, we're they're right. They are right there. And I think that's something a lot of people are missing.
Yeah. And before we finish off here, the NBA Finals, did you enjoy two small market teams playing in the final?
I watched every game.
Loved
compared
it.
Compared to last year in the bubble, I had no desire to watch the Lakers last year. Just none. Like, I'm tired. Look, I know LeBron's a great player. I'm tired of watching him. I still don't like all the bullshit he pulls, the shit they pull with AD. It was nice to watch. I mean, I didn't necessarily have a rooting interest in the finals because either way, either Chris was going to win or Drew was going to win.
Oh, so, yeah. That's it.
You know, so I was going to be happy with whoever won. But I do like, you know, it is nice to see Milwaukee, the small market, their mega superstar stayed around. And they won it the right way, you know?
Yeah.
And he even mentioned it in the post-game presser. He's like, yeah, look, I kind of formed a super team somewhere, but that's the easy way out. Like, I don't want to do that shit. Like, they actually worked and did it the right way, and it was really good to see.
And he's now going to have a legacy in Milwaukee, like, forever now.
Yeah.
Like, forever. And Zion, please take note of that. Please take note of that. Imagine this team's never won a title. Imagine being leading this team to a title. Like, because with your talent, if we get this, if Willie Green pans out and these young players play to their potential, we are there. We are right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're right there, people want to come play for you.
And that's the thing. So right now, you know, our franchise isn't looked on too highly, but all you got to do is start winning. I mean, it's a simple formula.
Yep.
You start winning and it changes everything. And say,
look, Milwaukee's not a free agent destination, and I know we traded Drew there, but Drew came to go and play with Giannis because he knew what they're building there. Mm-hmm. Good players will join you.
Right. If you start winning and you're a consistent winner, I mean, it gives players will have a chance to win titles, and that's what they want. So it's a simple formula: just fucking win. That's what we got to do.
Exactly. And I haven't watched any of it, but I'll ask you if you watched any Olympic basketball you've watched much of or
nope. Zero. Apparently Drew's playing pretty well, but I have not watched a single second of Olympic.
Where basketball. What round are we in at the moment?
It's close to I know they beat Australia, I think, like overnight this morning. So I think that was maybe the semifinal game. I think. But I couldn't tell you.
It's been a weird Olympics, just with no fans. Stuff
yeah,
like that.
I mean, I have watched some events, like I've watched some swimming, I've watched some track and field, I watched a little of the men's golf.
Yeah, that was disappointing. I didn't think the UK sent the two best golfers out there.
No, y'all had Paul Casey and Fleetwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they're good players.
Yeah, Casey's up there at the moment this year, but Fleetwood's not had the best of years.
No, he definitely hasn't.
That's a bit annoying, but
so yeah. I mean, I've watched the Olympics here and there, but
yeah, and obviously, it is summer out there as I speak. It is absolutely tipping down with rain, so it's a traditional British summer that we've got going on. It's summer league will be soon, and obviously NFL training camps all getting up together.
Yeah, our first NFL game tonight, Hall of Fame game.
Yep, and then Premier League starts next week as well. Week tomorrow, Premier League starts, and then we've got Ryder Cup, so we've got a lot to look forward to.
Yep, there's a lot coming. I'm excited.
Yeah, I've had a bit of a summer off. I haven't really done, apart from the Euros podcast, I haven't really done too much podcasting, but I think this is it now. We are back. We are going to be in full swing, and
we're going to have our instant reaction shows again.
Oh, they're going to be fun. You're going to be, it's going to be from the ground of you as well.
But it is going to be, I was just thinking this year, because I'm fingers crossed, I should actually be going to home games now. So it's, you know, usually it takes me about an hour to get home after the game. So
you're going to have to record. Yeah. You're going to have to record.
Either I'll have to do it on my phone in the car or. Yeah, maybe exactly. I'll just do it on the phone in the car. Yeah.
Exactly. And because just like, I think we've got quite a lot of late games this year, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that first game against Green Bay, I'm pretty sure is a 3 o'clock game here.
Yeah, and they've just announced the NFL ticket details for the London games. It's like that is definitely going to go ahead. but you never know with the NFL, they could pull the trigger, pull the plug at any moment. So we'll see what happens. But no, thank you for listening, everyone. It's been great to have us all back together talking Pelicans. Obviously, you might get another podcast sooner, like if some major news breaks. We won't just, obviously, I think you'll go to quite a quiet spell, I think.
Well, a little bit of an off season.
Yeah, I think you will get a bit of an off season. So enjoy it. Yeah, so it'll be an off season for us. But all I'm saying is, please, when the Pels come back and it's middle of football season, and no matter how the Saints are doing, just, I am so jealous that you have an NBA franchise and that, you know, Jason, you make the most of it. You got seated and you go and support nearly every home game you get to. Like, come on, you guys have got a generational talent down there. Like, I know that, I know football's the big thing in New Orleans, and I get that, I 100% get that, but get behind this team, because this team can definitely win.
Yeah, a ton of talent. Like I said, I'm lucky to be able to watch Zion every game. Like, he's just, and I've mentioned it before, but like, I was blessed to be able to watch Chris Paul for a few seasons. I got to watch Davis, but watching Zion is just something else. He is just something else.
Yeah. You know? So, cool. Any final thoughts or?
It really is kind of a big make or break season. I mean, they have to win this year, but I think they finally have some of the pieces in place to really make a run, just stay healthy, make a run, a nice new young coach coming in. I really think they can finally get to where they need to go.
Happy days, fingers crossed. So that's all the show we have for you right now. I want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dome Patrol United. Well, you have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-point conversion, the instant reaction show that we spoke about that will be coming back soon. I don't know if it'll come back. It probably won't come back for preseason games because there's no need to lose your plot about the preseason. Then you've got the Dome Patrol main show, the Beers and Beer Saints podcast that started up again. It's a couple of episodes about training camp on there with Wesley and Dave. Definitely worth listening to. This one, the Pelican Plunge. The Premier League podcast will return soon, and our gambling podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. And also the Tigers Den with Scott, focusing on LSU sports. So follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol Podcast, Dome Patrol UK, BS and Beer Media, Taking the Over, and at Tigers Podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
There you go.
Say goodbye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Van Gundy donkeys.
Represent and put the pressure on your local event, and drop heavy when the vocal commence to hit you with the hits. From the colonial prince, the master of the ceremonial, it's like that, y'all.
So go ahead and get up. This is the future sound.
Without further ado, yeah,
you don't see us, but we see you.
Yeah. Yes, 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 y'all. Mic test, test, y'all. Freestyle lyrics being thrown straight at y'all. And we hype, so, and we might just.